Isaiah chapter 9, let's go there. And the message is entitled A Wonderful Gift. Isaiah chapter 9, so as we approach, Christmas is a little over a week away. You know, the message of Christ and his birth is what we are celebrating at this time of year, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to celebrate. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 9, I want to touch on a verse here. Verse number 6, you know this verse. We have read it many times. It reads this way, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Oh, this is interesting. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I want to stop right there for a moment. And look, it says, "Unto us a child is born." Notice that. A child is born. The baby Jesus was born in the manger, and we celebrate the birth of Christ. But a son that was given, I know that's Hebrew poetry. However, you can take a look at that, and you can see that the son, you know, it's making a differentiation, if you will. There's a difference there. The child is born. The son is given. The son, if we talk about the Son of Man, the Son of God, he was long before time. He was before time. Okay? He was from the foundation of the world. He was there at creation. I mean, Genesis points that out. So the child was born in Bethlehem, but the son was given, and that was pre-planned a long, long time before it actually happened, and Jesus came into the earth at Bethlehem. So I thought that was interesting. We know John 3:16. You all know that verse. It's called the most precious verse in the Word. I don't know how you can really say that because they're all precious. But for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten son. Remember that. He gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. Now, I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I want to read a verse there. So the son was given. The child was born. The son is given. And God so loved the world that he gave. Now, I know we always talk about that at Easter time and at Resurrection Day, you know, when we talk about Jesus being offered up in sacrifice. But you can also look at it in the respect of God gave his son into the earth to become that propitiation, to become that sacrifice for our sins. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in chapter 8 and chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church there, and he's talking to them about a gift that they were going to give to a group of people who had come on hard times. And this was going to be quite a sizable gift that they would end up giving. And so I want you to jump down there to verse number 14, and I'm going to read it to you in the New Living. I'll read it in the King James first. It says, "And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." In the New Living Translation, it reads this way, "And they will pray for you," talking about those that they're going to sow the gift to. "And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you." Then it goes on and it says, "Thank God for his son, a gift too wonderful for words." So he's making mention of this gift that they're going to sow into these people's lives. And he talks about the fact that they're going to pray and it's going to be a good gift and all that. And that's wonderful. The Lord has blessed you and they're going to pray for you. But now let's kick it over to the best gift. And the gift that is actually too wonderful to even be spoken of. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. When God gave us his son, when he sent Jesus into the earth, As I said, we're celebrating the birth of our Savior at this time of the year. We have to remember that he gave us life when he gave us Jesus, right? He gave us life. Jesus, the Bible said in Colossians 3, verse number 4, Christ, who is our life, I mean, make a note of that, because that verse of scripture is very, very powerful. Christ is your life. All these people that walk around ignoring Christ, they're dead. They're dead in their trespasses. You cannot ignore Christ and get away with it. It may appear that way, like you're doing well and everything's cool and I'm doing so good and I got a big raise and, you know, raises are great and praise God for them. But if all your emphasis is upon what you're doing and that, you know, you are living your life the way you want to live it and you're all proud about what you've accomplished, you're not really living. That's not really living. Can I hear an amen? It's not. It really isn't. See, Christ is our life, and what did he do? When he came, now he came, he was born, but he eventually, he was born so that he could die. He would shed his blood, which is his life, Leviticus 17, verse 11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. When he gave his blood, he gave his life. And that gift of sending Jesus is a gift that it goes beyond description. You are beautiful beyond description. Don't we sing a song like that? It's an old song, but you are beautiful beyond description, or words to that effect. And, you know, I think of that. When I think of the Lord, I mean, we're going to stand there one day and look at him face to face, and you're not going to have the words. What are you going to say? You know, there are those that think they're going to walk up there and be, you know, I'll have all the excuses ready. Well, I wouldn't. Yeah, that isn't going to happen. There aren't going to be any excuses. You know, all we're going to do is bow down before him. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then all the times that we shunned him and said, I don't have time for you. You know, you remember years ago we did an illustrated with a Keith Green song. You love the world and you're avoiding me. It's a song. My word sits there upon your desk, but you love your books and magazines the best. It goes on in that, and your life is so tied up in all you're doing. You love the world, and you're avoiding me. Guess what? You're not going to get away with that. There's going to come a day when you're going to face the Lord, and you're going to have to answer for why you avoid him. So I would suggest that you do not avoid him. Stop it. Now, I don't mean just by attending church. You need to at least attend church. That's true. But I'm talking about in the day, tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night, and then into the next day, and the next day, and ad infinitum. We need to be talking to him. I've mentioned this before, and how many of y'all talk to your mate, okay? If you're married, you talk to your mate, right? You give him the cold shoulder, or you give her the cold shoulder. That's not going to bode well with you. Amen. That's a nice piece of advice right there. Amen. 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 No cold shoulders. No, that's actually hard to say, cold shoulder. Sore shoulder is not that easy either. But if you love somebody, you talk to them. You communicate with them. You confide in them. You're there for them. You don't avoid them. You know, this, I love the Lord, when I get in trouble and I need you, then I'm going to bow my knee and pray hard. Well, normally it's too late when that happens, if a person has been avoiding God. Now, God loves them. Of course he does. But it's very, very important to spend time with him every day. Amen. So God sent us this wonderful gift, and Jesus is, in fact, the heavenly gift. Now, I'm going to read some scriptures to you and at least give you the references. And Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 4, speaks of those who have tasted of the heavenly gift. You remember that? Write it down, Hebrews 6, verse 4. The heavenly gift is Jesus in that verse. That's what it's talking about. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, most of you know that verse. For by grace ye are saved. You remember that? Through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is what? A gift, or the gift of God. We're talking about the wonderful gift of his son that he sent, that he gave. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then John 4, verse number 10. Do you remember when Jesus was sitting there with the woman at the well? And he asked water, if she would get him some water. And Jesus in verse 10 said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. You remember that verse. But this is that verse, John 4, verse 10. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that said to you, give me to drink, you would have asked him for living water. So again, it's pointing out the fact that the gift of God was Jesus Christ. He is that gift. Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, remember, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gift of God. So he is a free gift that is too wonderful for words. He is that unspeakable gift that was magnified at the end of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 that we just read. So when we talk about a gift, we are talking about a free gift. This gift is free. There's nothing that you can do to earn it. You know that. It's not of works, so you can't earn it. Let me give you a definition for the word free. I'm going to give you three things concerning the word free, and this is in relation to the free gift of Christ. Free is this, not deserved. Okay, now again, it's you say free, that's a definition of free, pertaining to the free gift of Christ. Not deserved, not earned, and not repaid. Not deserved, not earned, and not repaid. This is a wonderful truth that you and I have to come to grips with. You don't deserve. You didn't deserve the gift. I do not deserve the gift. We cannot earn it, and we certainly can't pay him back for the gift that he gave. Have you ever been given a gift that seemed very exorbitant? Have you ever been given something that seemed, man, that's expensive. Why did you spend so much money? You're going, no, but I sure wish I have. But yeah, maybe this Christmas, huh? Amen. In this free gift that's been given, it's going to take faith to receive such a gift as this. It also takes humility to receive a gift like that. When somebody comes up to you and hands you a gift that's expensive, have you ever had somebody come up to you and want to give you something and you go, oh, that's too much? I'll guarantee you there are people in here tonight that have said that, whether you're going, yeah or no. The fact is, I mean, I had somebody wanted to give me something one time and it was a lot of money. It was a lot. It was worth a lot. And my first thought was, boy, and the Lord checked me on that? Huh? I know a man, I was sitting and we ate a dinner, and a very well-known televangelist, well, he was having lunch with him, and they're friends, and he said, I really like that watch you have on, and the man took it off and gave it to him. And it was an expensive watch. If I said the name, you'd probably know it if you know high-end watches. And then he looked it over, and on the back it said, happy anniversary. This was a gift from his wife, that the man, the televangelist, had the watch on. It was a gift, 40th anniversary watch gift. Nice watch. Gave it to this friend of mine and yours. And I said, what the damn? Didn't you feel a little guilty when you saw the happy 40th anniversary, dear? He said, for about that long. Hey, the man wanted to give it, and that just shows you the man is not hung up on things. Amen. People come down on some of these, quote, prosperity preachers. I mean, they're, you know, we ought to be preaching prosperity, for crying out loud. God's not poor. He's the richest one that's ever been and ever will be. What we need to remember is don't get into idolatry. That's the thing that needs to be talked about. I mean, I was tuning into a series. I was online, and it was Pastor Mac Hammond up in Minneapolis. And he had a series on the root of all evil. And I was going to go in and start listening to that. I just thought, that's interesting. I want some study on that. And I think it's interesting. I think we all need to stay rooted and grounded in the truth, in the word, and not let things get to us. I've preached in places, you know, that weren't near as nice as this church building that you all enjoy every week. I got your attention. Sorry, Austin. Austin ducked. He's like, oh, Dad, oh, no. He keeps telling me, buy a new mic, Dad. Yeah, well, okay, I will. Anyway, let me go back to what I was telling until I so rudely interrupted myself. Yeah. You know, when I put my hand on my hip, that's right where that wire is, so I can't do that. I'll do this. How's that, you know? Anyway, I have preached in churches that were pretty ratty, if you really want to know the truth of it. I preached in some pretty nice ones, but I preached in some that were pretty bare bones, if you will. Then when I went overseas, I preached in some that had dirt floors. Now, I'll tell you something. God doesn't want his church poor. God wants his people taken care of. He just doesn't want us having an attitude about money being more important than him. And when people, I've said this before, the people will come to me, oh, Pastor Dan, I just can't get to church ever. I just can't get to church. But every Monday, you get to work. You hear me? I mean, that's between them and God, but they're going to answer for that one day. I can't read my Bible, but you can read the paper. I can't spend any time praying, but you can sit on the phone for an hour with somebody talking about nothing. Boy, it all starts to come into focus, doesn't it? I mean, now I'm not saying that for any one person. I'm saying it for all of us, okay? Me included. It's very, very important that we be serious about our commitment. God gave us the best gift he ever had. And here's something you can write this down, because we're going to go into this in just a moment. But the greatest expression of love is giving. It really is. The greatest expression of love is giving. What is that verse we just read? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved that he gave. Love is cheap if you don't give something. In other words, you can say, I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord, and never give him any time. You're proving that you really don't care that much about him if you never have time to spend with him in his word. Now, if that sounds like condemnation, it shouldn't. It's not. It's just the truth. And I say that to me. If I have time to run and do this and do that and do the other, I better, bless God, have time to spend time with the Lord. If I've got time to run and go down to the mall and look for a new pair of shoes or something, then bless God, I've got time to spend some time with the King of the universe who lives and dwells on the inside of me, who sent his son to die for me. All this busyness that people get into and forget God, it's really rather heartbreaking, actually, if you really want to know the truth of it. You know, it's like, okay, well, I don't have time. Get up earlier. That's a dirty word right there. And I know you get up very early. A lot of you in here get up very early. We get up early. Some days I just flat get up earlier than I even ever needed to, just because I got to get up and write something down. I got to get up and get into the word. I love those times in the morning when nobody else is awake. Anne will do that now and again. She'll get up before me. And, you know, we both do it. But I love those times when it's quiet. And I say, Lord, I need to hear from you on this. I need to hear from you on that. It's quiet. I can, you know, of course, when I get up, then the cats come to me. You know what I'm saying? And so they try to get involved in my devotion. But for the most part, I'm successful keeping them away. But spend time with the Lord. It's very, very important. The greatest expression of love is giving. The greatest love that has ever been. You might want to write this down. The greatest love that has ever been gave the greatest gift that's ever been given. You hear me? The greatest love that has ever been gave the greatest gift that has ever been given. Now, who did he give that gift unto? He gave it to us. Now, let's just run that out a little bit. If the greatest love that's ever been gave the greatest gift that's ever been, and he gave it to us, that means we are the most loved who have ever been loved. Let that sink in. You are the most loved of anybody who's ever been loved. Why? Because the greatest love, hold it a minute, God is love. The greatest love that's ever been gave the greatest gift that's ever been to us. That means I am, you are, the most loved who's ever been loved. If you give a gift to somebody that is worth, let's just say you had the means to do this and you gave somebody this Christmas a box full of $100 bills and it came out to, let's say, a shoebox full of $100 bills, $10,000. Okay, I don't know, can you fit 10 grand in a box? Probably. Maybe not. Yeah? Yeah. So how many of those you got, brother? I'm not going to tell you. No. But let's say you had that, and you come and you hand that to somebody, and they say, oh, you got, whoa, what'd you get me? You know, it'd be heavy. It'd feel like a nice little load. And you get in there, and you start realizing what they gave you, stack after stack after stack of $100 bills. You could make this assumption. They think pretty highly of you, right? Come on, yes or no? Would you give $10,000, $100,000, whatever the monetary gift is, to somebody you think is worth nothing? No, those are the people you give very little things to. It's kind of like when you have a waiter who doesn't do a good job, you don't tip him as good as the one that does a good job, right? Okay, the gift is based on the person giving it, what they value that person to be worth. Well, you know, we looked the other day, there was a Mecum auto show on, and the auction, and they had that Mustang, the Bullet Mustang. I think you, Ken, and you and I were talking about this the other day, but I don't know if you saw this one, Jim, or not, but they had the Bullet Mustang from the movie, one of McQueen's cars. And, that car, the guy that was selling it at the auction had bought it. His dad bought it for $3,500. They brought that thing out there, and the auction went to, what in the world was it, Ann? Over $4 million? Yeah, wrong one. Anyway, it was in the millions of dollars. This car, yours looked like showroom compared to that one. This one had been used in a few of the bump and run stunts that they had, so it had a scratch in the side, but it was all from the movie. But, you know, it had this value attached to it. People are crazy. Calls from overseas and different ones bidding on it, and the thing keeps going up by 500,000 here, another 500,000. I'm thinking, all that money for this beat-up Mustang. But the guy that ended up buying it spent over four and a half, five, whatever it was. He valued that car at that amount of money. You might look, in fact, I know a lot of you in here would look at that and go, I would never give you that much kind of, that kind of money for a car like that. I mean, your Mustang, Kent, looks a lot nicer than that one did. But that one brought that kind of money, and you're going, oh, this is really foolish. I'm making a point. The point is, the one who purchases something, who pays the price, puts the value on what that item is worth. If the top bid had been $100,000, which is stupid too, but it had been that much, it would have sold for that, you know, I mean, whatever. The person who's purchasing it says, it's worth $5 million. Well, to that person it is. What did God do when he sent Jesus? God sent us his only begotten son. This is a gift, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, that is beyond words. It's beyond description. The gift that he sent of Jesus Christ goes way beyond anything you and I can ever imagine. Now, don't let the devil come to you and lie to you and tell you you're worthless. I've got news for you. If God sent his only son, the best gift he could possibly give, God thinks you're worth the life of his son. So the next time you feel insecure or inferior, you just stop and for a moment take a thought and think about what the Lord has done for you, how he sent Christ. He thought so much of you, he gave and paid a price that makes $5 million look like chunk change. How do you put a value on the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, I'll tell you what tonight. I couldn't put a monetary value on my wife or my son, or you for that matter. I couldn't sell Ann. I couldn't sell Austin. You know, I mean, you might tease about that, but you know good and well you could never do something like that. There are people that do that kind of junk today. But the fact is, God gave his only son for you and I. That's how much he thinks of you. What's the value of this pillar right here? You know, you say, well, I'll give you $50 for it. Well, what if we paid $250 for it? Then I'd say, no, you can't have it for that. That's all you value it at. That's what it's worth to you. But if I paid $250,000 for it, you know, you're going, wow, why is that so precious? Well, because it means a lot to me, you know, whatever. That, I know it's a foolish example, but the fact is we place value on things. That's how that auction thing works. They get a guy that wants it more than this guy over here, and they're willing to fight over it. That bid keeps going higher and higher until one guy reaches a breaking point, and the other guy says, it's mine. God went way beyond in sending his only son. Amen. Amen. Don't listen to the lie of the devil when he comes along and says, you're not good enough. You're not as good as that. Let me tell you something. In God's eyes, you're not better than me. I'm not better than you. Nobody's better than anybody else. Period. So for me to think, well, I'm better than him, or I'm not as good as she is, or I'm not as good as he is, that kind of stuff needs to stop. The Bible says that we should not compare ourselves with one another. That is a dangerous road to go on, because you're going to come up with one of two conclusions after making the comparison. Either I'm better than Corey, or Corey's better than me. Okay, that's just one example. You're going to feel superior or inferior. You never go, we're just the same. We're exactly the same. I mean, you might have some characteristics that are the same, but I'm smarter than he is. I'm not as smart as he is. That always happens with people. Don't do that. God loved you so much, he sent Christ. Amen. And that's what we're celebrating at this time of the year. Oh, that just hit me. I can't tell you. It just hit me. Knowing that God loved me that much that he sent Jesus, the greatest love that's ever been, gave the greatest gift that's ever been to me. So, I am the most loved who's ever been loved. I can say that about me because of what God did for me. You can say it about you. There's no two ways about it. God loves us that much. Oh, aren't you going a little overboard? Now, think about it for a minute. Think about it for a minute. Amen. Now, I'm going to wrap this up. So let's look at John chapter 1. You have to receive, okay? The gift is given. You have to receive the gift. In John chapter 1, the biggest problem that God has with his kids is they don't receive. And with the world, if they don't receive Christ, they're going to not, you know, of course, end up in heaven. Need to receive Jesus, but millions refuse to receive. It's going on tonight. It's going on, it went on today. Look at verse 10 of John 1. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. You know, I've heard people say, well, I like to give, but I have a problem, you know, receiving. Well, you better get over that. Amen? Need to get over it. Need to get over it. It's not good to be able to just give and never be able to receive. You have to know how to receive. God wants you to know how to receive. Well, now, brother, I don't take charity off of anybody. Whoa. I like it when I hear people do this, and it just kind of makes me chuckle. Well, I'm a self-made man. What a mess you have made, you know. I'm a self-made man. No, you're not. You're really not. Whose oxygen is this that we're breathing today? Who owns the earth and the fullness thereof? Who created you in the first place? I'm a self-made man. No, you're not. I'm a self-made woman. No, you're not. I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. What that means is you refused help from people that maybe God sent along the way to help you out. I agree that we need to be, hardworking. We need to be people that go after it and do what the Lord's told us to do, but give him the glory. The gifts that we have, every good and perfect gift, James, was it chapter 1, verse 17? Every good and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I give him the credit for what he's done in me. I give him the credit for how he's making me into what he wants me to be. I have to work hard at it. Yeah, sure. I have to work hard at what I'm supposed to do, but we need to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. But I received the gift that he gave, and I'll be more than willing to receive any other gifts that he has for me in the future. Amen? So I'm always amazed that people want to turn down gifts God has for them. It's a gift, man. The gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. Oh, I don't know, that speaking in tongues is of the devil. Well, it's amazing that the man that God used to write 2/3 of the New Testament spoke in tongues all the time. More than everybody else in the Corinthian church was very, very over the top in their speaking in tongues. And yet, people say, well, I don't know about that. No, man, don't refuse the gift. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater because you don't understand it, that kind of thing. I want to take every gift that he has for me. If the Lord was going to force his kids to do anything, sometimes people say, well, God'll do this to you. He'll make you live holy. Well, I've heard people say that. I'm like, golly, serious? You really believe that? God doesn't make you live holy. You have a choice in everything that you do. But I'll tell you, if God was going to make you do anything, here's what he would make you do. He would make you receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen? Oh, God, the Lord just, Lord, make me be a doer of the word. Make me walk in love. Make me, read my Bible. Make me. No, he wants your free will involved. And he doesn't make anybody do anything. You can serve the Lord or you can not serve the Lord. So the gift that's been given tonight is the most wonderful gift available to mankind. Oh, my. Praise God. Don't look at the gift and think, what do I need that for? I like my life the way it is. There are people that listen to me. I've heard some comments from people throughout the years that, you make it sound so easy. Go ahead, stand to your feet. You make it sound so easy to live for the Lord. It's like, well, the Bible says that walking that road of sin is the hard walk. Walking the walk of righteousness gets easier and easier. In fact, the path, what do we talk about on Sunday? It gets brighter and brighter as you walk down that path, amen, of the just, sure. So, no, it's harder. It's harder to walk in sin and live that way than it ever is to follow the Lord and do the Lord's will. Praise God.